I overflowed. Love
Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martas.
Good evening, my angel friends. This is C.J. Martas and you're listening to The Angel Connection on Friday, August 3rd. I have a very special guest with me this evening named Tony Bernhard. In 2001, Tony's world really was turned upside down from an unexpected illness that she contracted in Paris while on vacation with her husband. I'm very excited to have her on the show because I know I have a lot of listeners out there who have challenging health issues, and this is kind of my gift to you, a good resource for all of you. After discussion of our topic, I'll open up the phones in the last 10 minutes. Remember that the call-in number is 1-877-296-0345. Due to the number of callers each week, I'm real sorry if I can't get to everyone. Well, I always start with a prayer request, so here they are, guys. Please offer prayers for David, who's been in the hospital with kidney and heart issues. Marilyn asks for your prayers for strength and positive change in her future. I ask for prayers for those that were killed in Colorado last week by the gunman, and I wish to offer support and peace to their families. Please watch over Tim's mother, who's recovering from surgery. Remember that you can send in your prayer request to me via email or on Facebook. Well, as I was selecting, guys, the inspiring story for this week, it actually was a Good Samaritan story that turned out not so good for the Good Samaritan. But basically, there's a gentleman named Mr. Sinkfield, and he had an accident. He's 83 years old and driving, and he ends up driving off this overpass and landing below on train tracks. One of the people that witnessed it, a 48-year-old man named Dikai Abusani Amanrasi, witnessed it. He jumps down. He goes out there. He's trying to help this gentleman. The truck won't go, obviously, to get off the tracks, and the man is stuck. During the course of trying to help Mr. Sinkfield, a train comes. And so Amanrasi, he is struck by the train. He tripped on the edge of the tracks, and so he dies not very long after this. And so this Good Samaritan, you know, saving this elderly man, actually sacrificed his life to do a good deed. And this was just a couple of days ago. And what I really thought was so, you know, his family, of course, missing him, you know, but knowing that he was just that kind of person that he would put his own life in jeopardy to save somebody else. When they were talking to the family of the gentleman who had the accident, this is what his daughter said. I feel right now more remorse and sorry for the man who lost his life helping my father like an angel. You know, I feel for him and want to give him all the praise and his family. He was our angel, and I really can't put into words how grateful I am that he tried, and I can't put into words how sorry I am that he lost his life. So I just wanted to honor the gentleman, this Good Samaritan, who sacrificed his life. He didn't think twice about giving his life up for this other man. So peace and blessings to him on his journey outside of this life, and of course to his family who's coping with that loss. Well, I know you all wait for this, so without further ado, here is your angel message for the week of August 3rd. Dear ones, we see so many of you beginning to see the flow of synchronicity in your life now, and we are very happy this is so. Synchronicity is a flow of events that allow you to align with your purpose and bring into your life everything you need for your journey. This flow is a good thing to understand about the life you lead. There are many things working for your greatest good that can be hidden beneath the surface. Even though you cannot see these abilities directly, the fact that they exist is proven by the seemingly random connections you have made this year to those who are important to you on your path. You may be questioning right now your purpose in the world and what your mission is. However, we wish to share that knowing this in great detail is not entirely necessary in order to manifest your light into the world. You simply must believe that you possess an internal compass to guide you fully throughout your life and learn to trust it. So you must only believe, trust, and surrender to the flow of spirit inside you. We realize that it can be hard for you to trust yourself these days with so much change occurring and a good portion of the world plunged into deeper fear. However, we wish to point out that trusting in yourself and your inner compass to guide you perfectly is a choice that you can make at any time. Choosing to trust yourself is essentially the same as surrendering to the divine light inside of you. It can be hard to let go of conscious control in order to stretch beyond your comfort zone, but we know that you can choose this path rather than one of self-distrust that creates disharmony in all areas of your life. When you distrust your own wisdom, you become a divided self with very little power to create what you deserve. A wonderful flow of energy will occur this week to support deeper trust in yourself and help you see when you are navigating through synchronicity rather than distrust and control. Make a conscious choice this week to choose deeper trust and see what is revealed to you. When you feel as though you knocked yourself out of the flow of synchronicity, simply stop for a few moments to breathe deeply, clear your mind of worry, and consciously connect to your spiritual compass. In that moment, you are in harmony completely. Life can always pull you off center, so it takes just a little effort to regain the flow and center yourself. If you practice this, you will find that it becomes easier and easier to stay in the flow of the now. Allow yourself to relax this week and suspend the need to figure out every little detail in order to take right action towards greater joy. Dig deeper for self-compassion and see yourself in the same caring way as you do others in your life that you care about. Remember that your time is right now. Your full capability is infinite, and your contribution to the world is already perfect. Tell yourself that there's nothing crucial to do but let go and watch your life flow with synchronicity. If you take time for yourself this week, call upon us anytime for renewal or even just to say hello. But even if you don't take time for yourself as you know you should, we are always beside you regardless of what you choose. Always remember, an angel never judges how long it may take you to climb the mountain of wisdom and understanding. Until next time, dear ones, we are the Seraphim. So that's a powerful message this week, everybody out there. And, you know, it's interesting because I do get such tremendous feedback about this message every week. And I want to invite you all to participate in synchronicity, you know, on Facebook and other avenues to share the message if you feel like it. Like I have some people, before I bring Tony on here, I just wanted to mention this, who say that, you know, when they read it and they see it, people will pop in their head. So why not share it with them and let's spread the message around, because it's so wonderful that we get this very personalized message from the Seraphim every week on the show. And I love working with the Seraphim. And I love this show, as you all know. And so I want to welcome onto my show Tony Bernhardt. So we're going to talk about navigating illness with compassion. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, CJ. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad to welcome you to the show. I know the listeners out there who listen to the show every week are very excited that you're here. So thank you. You know, I think that where we should start is kind of, you know, prior to this very life-changing event, can you share with the listeners a little bit about kind of what you were doing in your life and at that time?
Yeah, this was 2001, summer of 2001, and I was about to enter my 20th year of teaching on the UC Davis campus, and my kids were grown and gone, and it was just a wonderful time in my life, and I was about to go on a retreat that summer. I'd been a practicing Buddhist for 10 years at that time, so now 20 years. And whenever I had an opportunity, I liked to go on meditation retreats. And so life was very good in the summer of 2001.
Well, it sounds certainly busy. You had a lot going on. Go, 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 do. And so you were a very active person, I understand, from just our discussions even before the show. So let's then talk about, you know, 2001, you're on a vacation in Paris, right? So what kind of happened there?
Well, I live in California, and my husband and I are not really world travelers. This was a very special trip for us. I'd rented in a little apartment, and an apartment in Paris means a room, basically. And we were going to go and stay for 3 weeks and just become Parisian-like. This was really the biggest trip we'd ever taken in our years together. And the second day there, I got sick. And I got sick in a way that appeared to just be a very bad viral infection. All those kinds of symptoms with fever and sore throat and coughing and chills. And to make a long story short, I never got better. The fever went away, and some of the acute symptoms went away, like the sore throat and the coughing. But I was left with this, in this state of feeling as if I have, I call it the flu without the fever. It's not that I'm tired, it's that I feel sick. And the doctors are puzzled. Their best guess is that my immune system just didn't return to normal even after it fought off the virus, so that it reads me as sick and is in this constant upregulated state. So we got back from Paris, and I just kept waiting to get better. The semester was due to start in August, and I wound up bedbound instead of in the classroom, and it was devastating. You know, who expects? Everyone expects to get sick once in a while, but you expect to get better if it's an acute type of thing. It wasn't as if I was diagnosed with some chronic condition like an autoimmune disease or something like that. I just didn't get better, and I expected it of me, and everyone else expected it of me, and it didn't happen, and I wound up having to give up my career. It was just devastating.
I bet you experienced a lot of different emotions too.
Yeah,
I bet you went
through
a lot of very challenging things. I mean, here's supposed to be your wonder. I mean, because life can do that to us sometimes. You know, here you are taking this very special trip with your husband, and then you come back and find you don't get well. Wow.
Well, you know, one thing I've discovered is that I wish someone had told me at the time, but when something like this happens, a diagnosis with some kind of life-changing medical condition, it doesn't even have to be life-threatening, just life-changing, you really, it's a loss. It's a loss of an old life, and people really have to go through the same kinds of stages of grief that people who've lost a loved one or have lost a marriage or a partnership, you know, have to go through. And that's what happened to me, but I didn't realize that was going on. And so I was in denial for a long time. I actually forced myself back to work for a while, and I think it just made me worse. I was way too sick to be at work. And then I was angry, and then I was depressed. It was a very dark, about 4 years of a very dark life for me. And now, this is someone who'd had a Buddhist practice for 10 years, and so that actually added to my misery, was feeling that I was a failed Buddhist because I couldn't handle what was happening, you know. So, yes, I was in a really dark place for several years, and I've learned from others this is not unusual.
And you know, because it's so hard for us, I think, like you said, you felt like a failure as a practicing Buddhist. I'm also a practicing Buddhist, so
Yeah.
And so here, you know, nothing can really, you know, prepare us for that. But what started happening in you that started to shift your experience of that?
Well, I like to think of it as how perhaps the Buddha's teachings were waiting in the wings for me, patiently waiting for me to rediscover. Because, as I said, I really put aside all of my Buddhist practice. And because, you know, it's more than just meditating. It's a whole kind of point of view about life and about your relationship to the world and other people and to yourself. And after about 3 or 4 years, really more like 4 years, I realized I had to come to terms with what had happened. And I started to open my heart. That's the way I guess my mind and my heart, you know, and actually in the language of the Buddha, there's one word that refers to both. They don't separate the heart and the mind. We tend to do that. So I began to open my heart to what I had been practicing, and I started to write really for myself a kind of guide on how I could handle being sick and handle these drastic life changes with grace and still living a life of purpose. And so I began to write about it, write about some of the Buddhist practices and how I was going and how I was using them now from the perspective of a sick person. And I shared some of those writings with some of the people I'd met online who were similarly sick or just had medical problems. And they said to me, "You should turn this into a book." So my book, How to Be Sick, really came about as it started as something I truly was writing for myself, to learn how to live with these changes without blaming myself for what had happened, and being able to find what there was that could be joyful about each day, and a kind of approaching each day with acceptance while still being proactive about trying to improve my health. And so that's what I did. I really wrote for myself, and then realized through the encouragement of others that I had a book. And that's how the book really was my own healing. And so that's how I kind of came back to life, I would say. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, something that really occurs to me, Toni, that, you know, since we have the time, is that, you know, in our society, we have so much emphasis placed on what we produce, you know, how competent we are, how, you know, and I think, you know, looking at when we suddenly have such a change in what our life looks like, what we're doing, I think it can be especially hard to accept when all of a sudden we're bedridden, right? You really can't. You don't feel very good about yourself laying in the bed, is because our you know, I think our society really values obviously
production,
right?
Yeah.
So what have you done for
me today? And yeah, you know, I just felt like I was failing everybody. I felt like I was failing the law school and failing my family. I had a new grandchild, and I wasn't able to be active in her life. I'm in Northern California, they're in Southern California, and so it's not like I can see her that often. And I felt as if I was letting other people down, and I felt like a failure myself. And I agree with you that part of it is because this culture we live in is so production-oriented and so get out there and and if you're not working, what's wrong with you? And what I've learned is that we don't control as much about our destiny as we think we do. You know, if you had asked me,
yeah.
me in 2001, well, what are the next two decades going to look like? I would have said, well, I'm going to continue to teach at the law school, and I'm going to be. I was also an active mentor for a child in who was in child protective services, nothing to do with work, just a community contribution. And I would have said, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do that, and my husband and I will do some traveling, and none of that came to pass. And I was not prepared. And instead of being able to see what I see now, which is that the really the only way to make, to live in peace is to take each day as it is, as it comes to you, and know that it may not meet all of your expectations and it may not be the day that you had dreamed about yesterday, but it's the day you got. And you can make it a good day if you accept that life has its ups and downs and learn to just kind of go with the flow. You know, you talked in... You were talking in your before I came on about trusting your inner compass, and I just really related to that because my life didn't change for the better until I began to trust what was going on with me, began to say, look, all these expectations of everybody else and the former me, the law professor me, all those expectations are just making you miserable. You have to trust what's going on right now in your body. You have to listen to your body. You have to listen to your mind. And my body was telling me, your life has changed. You can't do what you used to do. And only by listening to my body did I start to come around and treat myself with the compassion that I deserved. It's not, you know, it's not our fault that we get sick or that we develop pain conditions. I've learned so much about all of the medical difficulties that people have, most of which are hidden from others. But there's this tendency to blame ourselves as if, you know, we've done something wrong. But we're in bodies, and bodies get sick and they get injured and they develop pain syndromes, and that's the way it is. And it's only when we come to accept what we have in this life without blame that things get better for us. And that makes it better for everyone around you too, because people sense that you're comfortable with yourself and then they're more comfortable with you.
Well, and I totally agree with you, because I think that there's kind of this misconception, I guess I'll call it, that, you know, the wiser we are, the more compassionate we are, the more spiritual we become, you know, all these things sort of guarantee safe passage. And then when we have something come through unexpectedly, we immediately turn to just really pummeling ourselves that we, you know,
right.
we did something bad in a past life, or we did that, you know, and none
right.
of those are, you know, none of those things are the case. And so I really, you know, this topic is so timely because I, you know, we're all being required, whether it be that unexpected illness or our life taking a left turn instead of a right, to go deeper with self-compassion and self-love, you know, to like you said, accept that space that you're in, accept your life, and to reach that joy. And I think that you being able to share how you made it out of that hole, you know, how you eventually came to this And you said so much that the response, like you said, I think before the show, you know, you become this layman, lay expert on all kinds of autoimmune diseases because the outpouring of people reading your book, coming back to you, has been so incredible.
They read it and they write to me, and it's been quite an education. And then I often go to Google because they'll say, I suffer from, and it's something I've never heard of. And I'll go to Google and find out this is not a particularly uncommon problem. But, you know, most people just aren't aware that many people are suffering from a range of medical difficulties. But, you know, even if you're perfectly healthy, life has its bumps and its ups and downs. And so in some ways for me, this illness is a kind of metaphor for all of the difficulties that people face in life. I've just finished a second book, which is going to be published in a year, and I've broadened the scope from how to be sick to looking at all of the difficulties that people face, whether it's in relationships or at work or that kind of thing, that the more we can accept that life has its ups and downs, and we have to, and the only way to live in peace and contentment is to accept each day that we have, and as you said, trust our inner compass. I just love that. I think it's really what I mean when I talk about self-compassion. No one is more deserving of compassion than ourselves. One of the things I like to say is that this isn't in the book. This is just, I've learned so much even since I've written the book. Well, maybe it's in the book. I don't always remember. But there's so little, there's not a lot that we control in life. I mean, we do control some things. But there is one thing for sure we can control, and that's the way we treat ourselves.
Absolutely. Amen, sister.
Good. You know, I have people write to me and say, I'm not deserving of my compassion. And I think, where does that come from? Because I'm very lucky that I don't feel that way about myself, but I've come to realize that that's just conditioning. That when people feel they're not worthy of their compassion, their own compassion, that's because someone taught them that. It may have been a parent, it may have been a mean uncle, it may have been somebody in their lives gave them that idea. But if you've been conditioned one way, you can be conditioned another way. And that's one of the Buddha's great teachings, is that the mind is very flexible and we can change. And so anyone listening who's feeling, I can't be compassionate toward myself, you can, because you weren't born as a non-compassionate person. Somewhere, someone taught you that you weren't worthy, and they were wrong.
Hey, Tony. We are down to 90 seconds, sweetheart.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone out there, howtobesick.com. Get a hold of Tony. She's been through it. She's going to share her experiences and get her book. And thank you so much for being here.
I really enjoyed it.
You're
wonderful.
I really
enjoyed it, CJ. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.
Take care, sweetie.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's almost all the time we have this evening. That was wonderful. Tony's incredible. Thank you so much to her. Listen to what she says, guys. You be compassionate. You deserve that love that you give to yourself. You've been listening to the Angel Connection Show with CJ Martis. Be sure to tune into next week's show on the truth about the subconscious mind. I created the show out of a personal discovery of my own about our subconscious. So if you're a seeker of truth like I am, you don't want to miss this show. Until then, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourself so that you can become an angel to others. Take care and have a blessed week.